Well, thanks, Value. Good to see you. Always great to support the association. Thanks, Bob. So I want to talk a little bit about what we've been doing. Now, you know, we've heard a little gloom and doom this morning, some real positive things this morning as well. It's been kind of an interesting day throughout the day. Some of the presentations left me pretty fired up. Some left me thinking, maybe I'm bipolar like the economists. Could be. So as I was thinking about how to start out and talk about what's going on with our company, we really wanted to share with you a little bit about, you know, our overall philosophy for the last 4 or 5 years, and that is we've really spent a lot of energy and time on new product development. Hamer's been out in the bagging industry, in this industry, since 1994. We have a lot of equipment out there. We've placed about 500 industrial form fills over the last 15, 16 years, and something we try to do is really listen to all of our customers and find out how we can improve those products over time. I think this next generation series of product that we've launched really adds a ton of value to producers like yourselves in your industry and all the other industries that we support and serve. You know, what we tried to do was really work on efficiencies, and efficiencies in machine design in our mind equates to more uptime, lower maintenance and parts consumption, higher bag rates, less operator interaction. You know, I go into a lot of bagging plants, and a lot of you own our machines, and you've got a guy standing next to a Hamer form fill watching it run. And that was something that we didn't feel made a lot of sense for automation. If it's an automated machine, let's get that guy running the line. Let's get him away from the machine. So that was what we put our energy and time into. We launched a new series of form fill seals fairly recently. Focus really being a faster, more consistent production in everything we run. And we try to make our machines so one volumetric filler, one form fill seal machine can run really a variety of product, making it as flexible as possible. Because you know, markets change, your customers' demands change. Hey, if you're running all mulch, that's great, and that's what you want to run, super. A lot of our customers run mulch and soils on one machine. They want to be able to get the same efficiencies and same accuracies on a setup, so we try to make sure we could address that. Getting the operator away from the machine, pretty critical, as I shared with you. It's all about uptime. You know, if you've got something breaks on a form fill and you're down for half a day chasing those parts, that's no fun. If your volumetric filler breaks and you're rebuilding that in the middle of your busy season, that's something you want to avoid. So we try to incorporate those items in here as well. And then parts consumption. As everyone knows that owns a Hamer machine, they don't cost anything every year to maintain. There are no parts. That was a joke. I can see some people back there that have our machines and know that they eat some parts. So we try to really reduce that. I mean, it doesn't do us any good to have a new generation machine consume and take as many parts and maintenance hours as a next generation machine. Back in the early 1990s, 1998 time frame when we developed our model 2080, which we've obsoleted a couple of years ago, that machine was designed really to run about 2 million bags a year without a main belt path rebuild. Former ownership of the company, the guy that owned the company was very much a Henry Ford. You can have it whatever you want as long as it's black, and that's what you get. When we looked at our market today, the reality is you guys are producing a lot more bags than that. And you know, to have to rebuild a belt path once a year is something you shouldn't have to do. So next generation machines are designed on an 8, 9, 10 million dollars or 10 million bag cycle. Our philosophy is if you're not changing pulleys, not rebuilding in that time frame, that's what you should be doing. And hopefully our machines will meet that requirement. We have been testing the belt paths and pulleys on similar design machines since 2005, and that's what we've seen. We've seen them run aggregates, sand, a lot of abrasive products, and be able to get that kind of length of run. So what else have we been doing? Well, we looked at our infeeds. Obviously, you build a faster form fill, you got to deal with the infeeds. We being myself and some of our engineering team, spent quite a bit of time 2 years ago and studying hopper designs. Hey, it's a hopper, it's big, it's made out of steel. You put mulch in it, you put soil in it. There's not a lot of rocket science to it, but boy, there's a lot of them out there that cause a lot of problems and cause a lot of feed problems with people. So we wanted to design a little better design of our hopper. We've come up with this one here. You know, it's a fairly simple design. It's really aggressively built. It really does reduce bridging. We have very little bridging issues with it. It's all VFD driven. You know, we're not starting and stopping motors. It's made out of a bunch of steel. It should last for the 20, 25 years you guys are going to need them to last, and you won't see a lot of parts consumption on it. Pretty simple design, but it gets the job done. Volumetric fillers, baggers. We came out with this a few years ago. It's a little different design, uses a counter-rotating wheel. Most of you have seen it. I know I've probably been in most of your guys' offices waving my arm and saying how great this thing is and what it does and why it works the way it does. One of the nice things about this design is it doesn't need a lot of parts. I did some math on our parts consumption on this unit. For all the units we've got placed so far, which is about 100 of them, we're consuming about $5,000 in parts at Hamer that we're selling to support those 100 units, which is about $100 a machine. Now, something we do with this machine is, of course, motors and drives, and you know, the other components are all off the shelf. So if somebody wants to buy a motor or drive and they see one of their SEW motors go out on them and they have to replace it, they may not buy it from us. So we don't always track all those numbers, but $5,000 annual parts consumption on that product category, we think is pretty good. It's not eating many parts. There's not much to break on it. It doses very accurately, and it's been very successful. You know, one of the nice things about this little dose, mulch and soil, really pretty much the same, very consistently, very accurately. Our form fill, it's a little faster. We took some designs from our other big form fill machine. We build 7 form fill designs today. So we've been building them, you know, with a lot of expertise for a lot of years. We have 2 industrial design machines. This is our newest generation. We call it maybe more or less our general packaging machine, but it's really focused on big bags, you know, mulch bags up to 3 cubic foot. We also run this in a variety of other industries as well. But a lot of the design concepts in here were things we'd put on a machine that we launched in 2004, which was called a Model 3100. And we place that and do place that machines today into sand and aggregate and a lot of really abrasive environment plants. So we proved out the design concepts. We saw a lot of improved wear as far as wear and parts consumption on that basic design concept and carried it through here. Basically, this machine is set up to set it and run it. There's a whole series of reasons why that this machine really reduces operator interaction, but with the few minutes that Bob has graciously given me, I'm not going to run through them all. What is true about it is that about 90% of the operator interaction that you're used to on a form fill, at least on a Hamer form fill, have been eliminated. You don't have to go through those. And the parts consumption is way, way down. And it's down for a couple reasons. The parts wear longer, and there's less of them. End-of-line automation, as you most folks know, we don't build palletizers. What we do is try and find the best guys in the business to work with. We work with molars. We've been selling molars as a turnkey system for about 6 years now. You know, they have to market themselves and do their own thing as they see fit. They're not as well known in the mulch industry. We've placed quite a few in the last couple of years. A lot of success in that. And you know, why we like the molars team as part of a Hamer system is that, you know, they do a couple of things differently. They compress their bags on each layer individually and don't use the slide plate to compress the layers as they're building the pallet. We like that. That reduces wear on the slide plates, reduces maintenance on that whole top section of a high level, which is really where all the parts are consumed. They have an air assist layer forming table. That's a nice thing to do, especially if you're running a variety of products, like a small soil product, as well as large mulch products. Keeps bag deformation to a minimum, so your layers are always nice and clean. They oversize their motors and drives. It's a hell built for stout machine, a lot of steel in it. You know, when you stand on top of one of those machines, if it's been out in the field for a couple of years, it doesn't shimmy and shake and vibrate. It's very, very stable. In addition, Molars offers stretch hooding, which is a great product if you want to put a stretch hooder into a soil or a a composting facility. We haven't seen a lot of in mulch. In Hamer's mind, we're not sure that, you know, the mulch stack is a great fit for stretch hooding. It might be, might not be. Just haven't been a lot of actual field operation in it. And of course, when you're running compost or soils and you're stacking and pre-building pallets and putting them outside for months at a time before the big March rush, you pick up a lot of water weight gain. A stretch hooder will help you reduce that water weight gain in those pallets, cuts down your shipping cost, does add some value. And it's a pretty clean way to ship a lower height pallet. Only other thing I'd mention is that from a service and support position, we try to do the best we can. We think we're pretty good at supporting our customers in the field. Same day parts, same day service. Mueller's team is the same ethic. That's who they are. They all build everything right out of Grand Rapids, Michigan. So you're getting 100% U.S. made line and supported by people in, you know, the lower 48. And I think that's all I've got. That's my my brief review. It is my all I've got. So thank you for your time. Oh, questions?
Any questions?
Yes. Well, you know, I know some folks maybe in this room have done some testing on it. We've done a little testing on a higher pallet. It depends on how high, but a tall mulch pallet, we're not sure. We, being Hamer, not necessarily those that, you know, manufacture that, are comfortable or believe that that's going to be a real good solution for a mulch stack, just because of the height of that stack, stability, from a stability perspective. And we could be wrong. I'm sure others here will tell me I am. But that's our opinion on it. So, anything else? Tiny? All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bob. I have a question. This is the 40th anniversary. Has anybody been coming for 40 years? Anybody in the room? Anybody for 30 years? Besides me? How about 20 years?
29.
29. And of course, yeah, I know you've been coming quite a while. As you all know, technology has changed quite a bit in the last 40 years. I can remember when this industry started, and it was very, very crude. And I think all the manufacturers are going to be represented today really deserve acknowledgement of where they brought this industry as far as packaging. I'm just going to go over some real new technologies. We are a full supplier of machinery from front to back, from the hopper through the load securing with our own wrappers and stretch hooders. And I'm just going to hit a few areas where I'm going to show you some new technologies, small bagging technologies, how we produce more bags at the end of the day, and load securing systems, and answer some questions for you. Small bagging technologies is where we've really moved into lately. We not only have the FFS to do large bags, but we also do have a lot of requests for small bag packaging. And this is where we spent quite a bit of time. And we've got our open mouth bagger that'll handle many different kinds of open mouth bags, different materials. It's integrated closing system. It handles the bag top, controls that bag top all the time. We can bag reclosable features on this machine. And it's, as soon as the bag is filled and dropped, it's ready to go right to a palletizer, which is usually a robot in this case. And it's a very compact footprint. And as you can see, we got some speeds obtainable up to 24 bags per minute. And it'll handle bags from 10 inches wide to 20 inches wide and up to 40 inches long. And the changeover time is real quick at 5 minutes and not much requirements as far as air and electrical consumptions. This is a little short video of it, just to give you some idea of what we're speaking of. You can see it's a pretty fast machine, and it comes in real handy if you're packaging reclosable type bags. And like I said, once that product is bagged, we usually take it to a robotics palletizer, and you can see here that this is in motion. What we have is a camera system, which I'll get into a little later, but the camera system, it actually decides how that bag is going in and how it's placed and turned, so the robot can actually pick up multiple bags at a time, either place it on a pallet or in a carton. We can erect the carton, and we can fill the carton, and then we can seal it. And the robot can handle all those functions by placing the carton and different things. So that's some of our new technology in small bag packaging. And, of course, what we try to do is every year, I know your bottom line seems to get smaller and smaller, so it's up to us manufacturers to make that, ease that pain for you a little bit. So it's like Dan said, we're going to try to get you, you know, faster rates and minimum changeover times, operator-friendly. So if you have to train new operators, it's something you can do in a matter of a day or two rather than weeks. And, of course, we're going to produce more bags per minute. What we've worked on, and we have a lot of these, some of these features in place on some of our machines. I don't think we've actually got one machine with all these features on it, but this is a machine we're working on for next year, and it's a complete automatic changeover. So if you're bagging a 40-pound bag, and if you want to go to a 3-cubic-foot bag, you simply go to the operator interface and you push in the recipe, and everything automatically adjusts. You have the spout adjust to the bigger bag. You have your electric eye sensor on the end, which adjusts. You have your top seal adjust up and down. Your exit conveyor adjust and your side seal adjust. So it's completely automatic. And we feel like that most of the time there, when you have to change a spout and change film and make all these things manually, then it's going to normally take you somewhere around 30 minutes to do all that. We think we can cut that to 10 minutes. I'm sure we can. And when you cut 20 minutes off, you're saving yourself 7-8 pallets that you can bag at a rate of about 26 bags a minute. So it's quite a big thing we're working on, and we hope to introduce that next year. Some of the features are manual features. There's one feature particularly that we haven't found a way to do it automatically, but I think 4 out of 5 are automatic features. The adjustable spout is, which this, you know, you can go from a 40-pound bag to a 3-cubic-foot bag in a matter of 3 seconds. And we have those available on many machines already in the field operating today. But we just take an automatic to the next level. You know, when you say automatic, you think, you push a button and walk away, and that's basically what we're trying to get. That's basically right now the only manual setting we have to do, and it takes like 5 seconds to do that. That's changing the plates and the pressure pulleys at the spout area. The high-level palletizer we have now is matched with our FFS machine. Both machines will handle fairly easily, 35 bags a minute, up to 35 bags a minute. So in the past, we've had instances where the FFS would actually produce palletizer. Well, now we've got a match where we can get those consistent rates on both machines. And the automatic palletizer you've got an operator interface where you can put a recipe in and it automatically changes everything to that. The 4-layer squaring changes, I can't think of the word I'm talking about, but the conveyor that shoots the bags in, it automatically changes. It adapts itself to the different bag sizes that you program into the computer, and you can also do that from the FFS. You don't have to be on the palletizer. And our palletizer is all electric. The only air we require is just on a slip sheet dispenser. The new generation we're coming starting with next year is going to reduce installation time, reduce maintenance costs, and reduce noise levels. And operator interface is going to be much simpler than ever before. And we are also coming up with a real new technology, which I'll show you in the next slide, is this vision camera that's going to actually determine the turning of the bags. We're looking down with a camera on our bags as they're being turned by our twin belt turner. We don't believe in clamping bags. We don't believe in back in turning posts because once you prepare that package with a flattener, we don't want to, you know, disrupt that nice flat package. So this camera system is going to aid us in several ways. It's going to make sure every bag is turned properly, and it's going to be turned at the time when it needs to be. It's not going to wait one bag and turn the next one. Well, you've got one going into the palletizer and it's crooked in the machine. So it actually, every bag is turned perfectly straight with that machine, with that system. And we use that a lot on the robotic systems. When we gain speed on our robots, our single arm robots, we can gain speeds up to 35 bags a minute simply because we're picking up three bags on a five bag layer. We can pick up three bags, stack it, and then go to a two bag and stack it. So this is a real, real new technology for us. I spoke about the operator interface. You can see we're going to have the English, Spanish, whatever language you like on the fly. Well, you can change it, but more importantly to me is the fact that our interfaces are going to be picture orientated. So it doesn't make any difference what kind of language you speak. You can just go to the pictures and do what the pictures tell you to do. And we feel like that's going to be a big improvement, especially on training operators real quickly. Our load securing systems, which is going to be at the end of the line, of course, is we do manufacture our stretch wrappers and also hooders. And this is our LH400 series stretch hooder, up to 120 loads per hour. And we can use most any film supplier that actually makes film for hooders. Give you a little idea of how ours work. We also, as well, in all of our new designs, take in consideration wear parts, efficiencies, try to keep everything in high rates, because we know the demand's going to be on your producers to keep your bottom line as good as you can, and that's going to relate to more bags per minute and per hour and per day. And that's been some talk about, you know, the cost of the actually film on a stretch hooder. And I think, you know, new film technology is changing quite a bit. And those numbers are still, I think, descending in cost per pallet. But I won't get into that. That's not really my deal with cost per pallet on film. But I think you're going to see more and more hooders as the time comes. As our stretch wrapper machine, they've been on the market for a long time. We've made a couple of new innovations on it. One is the carriage that holds the film. In the past, the film carriage have come with a preset gear range where you pre-stretch the film. Usually, in older times, it was 100 and then went to 150. As film technology got better, it went to 250. Now we have two motors on our carriage that we can adjust that range any way we want to, from 0 to 400%. Ever how much the film will take, we can stretch it. So that's one of the new technology. And the other technology is what we've really seen come about in the last 4 or 5 years is more people are buying top film applicators. And the top film applicators, you got two kinds. You got an inline and an in cycle. Well, the inline used to be the faster kind, but that technology is kind of old, so the in cycle is much better, where we actually wrap the pallet and to the top, the head goes down, you put a top cap on it, and then you rewrap it again so the water will not get down in the load between the top cap and the film. So you get rid of that green looking, ugly looking between the film because of moisture damage. So that's, we've got a, I've got a film of it, but ours is just a single arm there. We redesigned it. We used to have a carriage over the top that brought the film over and dropped it. Now we have a real simple mechanism. It's just a one-arm deal. It just kind of folds over like this and goes back. So we really, really reduced the cost of maintenance on that machine by doing that. That's about it I got. Anybody have any questions? Pardon? Is it a video? I forgot. I'm sorry. It is. This is the arm, just folds over. No chains involved in that, it's just a one single arm. So we've already wrapped the plastic up, and then we dropped the top cap on top of the plastic. So the water will now go down between the plastic and come out on the outside, not trapped on the inside of the pallet. And we also encourage the option of picking that pallet up to wrap the, make sure you got a wrap all the way to the bottom of the pallet to really secure those tall loads to the pallet. That's the end. Any questions? I did a good job.
Thank you.
Next is Frank Helliga, Sparta Slowway.
Hello, everybody. My name is Frank. I'm representing Slootwerk from the Netherlands. The Sparta site is our Canadian facility. I've seen there is empty seats. Must be a peat sale somewhere.
I would guarantee it.
Yeah. Just to give you an update of what we come up with in new development and of the packaging technology. We do a four-edge sealing. Now, four-edge sealing is not new, but it's new when you make it by the, when you let the machine makes the four-edge sealing. So the bags come in a roll, and the machine itself can make the four edges. They will seal a quarter inch of a seal. It will give you a nice block shape. And it's nice presentation. What we can do, we can use resealable bags with a zipper. If your supplier can weld the zipper onto the film before he puts it on a roll, we can handle resealable bags. Now, it's a feature which can be added to an existing bagger. It be mounted at the back of the machine. The arrows will show you what the extension is. What we also have new is a high-speed servo-driven ram. The ram goes up and down at high speed. We will not lose any capacity in bags per minute. What can we do with it? If you bag a bag of mulch or coarse bark, you need to have a big bag to get it in and to be able to have a proper seal. With the ram, we can give a small compression in it so that we can make smaller bags with the same required volume. The bags look more filled, firm. It happens sometimes if you have a coarse bark or bulge that stick up, it comes between the seals, the ram pushes them down, so you will not have any open bags. Also, the RAM can make a soft bail. It's a slight compression, but with the soft bail and the handles, with the block backs, it gives you a nice presentation. But we also came up with, we bag sometimes this kind of mushroom compost. It's the wettest, sticky product you've ever seen. We put a mechanical vibrator in the inner tube. If you have a constant vibrating on the inner tube, it prevents, well, it will not make it completely clean, but it helps a lot, that product sticking inside the plate. Weights and measurements, like the presentation yesterday, bags can be filled by volume, like most of you are doing. If needed, we can put the dozer on a scale and fill the bag by weight. Now, that can be an issue if your bulk density changes, so you get different shape of bags. Some of our customers use a check weigher. Right after the bagger, we have a check weigher. What you have to do first in the morning, weigh the correct filled bag and sets the check weigher to check that weight for the rest of the day. Any bag without specs will be rejected. It can be manually or automatic. We increased our side flattener. Over the years, we found out that the longer the flattener, the better it is. If you have a short flattener, or sometimes people only have a roll, it's too short. The product will, as soon as it passes, it will bounce back to its original conditions. Now, these two rolls, you see, these are wooden rolls, and they have layers. They can be taken off manually. These rolls, you can squeeze them in between the conveyor, and you can squeeze them in for a side compression. It's a little bit dark, but here you see the bags come off the machine in a normal, loose, pillowed way shape. They're very loose. First you see the bags. First picture is the bags coming up towards. The second picture is where the bag have its maximum compression between the upper and the top conveyor. And by just squeezing the wheels inside, you see the sides are completely flat. We do barcode reader. If you have if you can get a barcode on your film, you just scan the roll, and all the settings of that recipe, of that type of bag, will be transferred automatically in the machine. If you, for any reason, have to stop halfway that film or that roll, the machine remembers the amount of bags are still left on the roll. Controls. That's becoming a more and more a big issue. Customer wants to get more data out of the machine. It has to be more user-friendly. And if there's a fault, you don't want to call the manufacturer directly, but the machine needs to tell you what is wrong and how to fix it. Now, this is a Windows touchscreen computer. We use a soft PLC inside. And because it's a Windows computer, if you can hook it up to your office network, it can be serviced from distance. Your office software, if you use lean manufacturing software, it can be, all the data is in there, it can be taken out and exported to any Excel or whatever you want. Future speed. The speed that I hear, I think we're about our end. I don't think we're getting more and more speed. It's the product we are bagging is fall by gravity, and it doesn't fall any faster. You can't force nature. So I don't see a lot of winning in more bags a minute. I see a lot of winning in intelligent controls. Also, more speed, if you push every bagger more speed, you might get into the problem that you get inconsistent filling. So at the end of the day, you will lose that speed. I'm more for that you have a machine on a good, acceptable speed and let it run all day without any problems. What we can expect is built-in lean manufacturing software. It's becoming a more and more issue to make your whole plant efficient. And not only just look at the bagger, how many bags it can make per minute, but the amount of pellets you make per day is depending on the weakest link in your whole system. It could be the pelletizer, it could be the bagger, it could be the feeding system. With built-in lean manufacturing software, you'll be able to figure out what your weakest links are in your whole plant. If you look at your own situation and calculate the amount of downtime you have on a machine per year, I certainly must agree that there is still a lot to win over there. And I think we have to focus on more reliability of the equipment that's on the market. Packaging products, polyethylene bags. The companies who supply the bags, I know they're still developing in stronger film, thinner film, reduce the costs. Like Daniel, he explained about biodegradable bags. In Europe, there are trials with biodegradable. It's amazing. I have it in my hands. It looks like PE. And if you scratch it, it can be biodegradable. It falls apart, and it's 100% biodegradable. Now, that's pure in development. Because he talked about he had an inner bag and an outer bag. The outer bag is also needed to protect the inner bag. But the problem with that biodegradable packaging is the sustainability. Nobody knows when it falls apart. It's still too expensive, but in the future, I think we'll get there to have something cheaper. Well, that's it. I want to thank you, especially Mark and Bob, for initiating this topic and giving us the opportunity to stand here. And thank you very much. Any questions?
Any questions? Thank you, Frank. Jeff, look at it. Jeff. Let me get your...
Thank you very much, Bob. My name is Jeff Lucan. I am the National Sales Manager for Lockemeyer. We focus mainly on stretch hooding equipment. I'm not sure how many of you are familiar with what the stretch hooding is. I wasn't quite sure, the audience that I was going to have in front of me. So take a little bit of time just to explain exactly what stretch hooding is and the benefits of it. But first, just quick little information about Lockemeyer. It was established back in 1969. Our actual manufacturing headquarters is Sønderborg, Denmark. We have about 110 employees. In June of 07, we were acquired by ITW, which is Illinois Tool Works. Lockemeyer was the first company to introduce stretch hood technology back in 1988. We put the first machine on the market. And again, our focus is on selling equipment, and stretch hooding equipment is end of line packaging equipment. Just a little bit of information on stretch hooding. There are advantages. The advantage of stretch hooding is one is actually in I forget the gentleman who was there, the name there, that's sitting there before, but he had some issues with load stability. You actually improve the load stability with using stretch hood than you do versus stretch film. And how that is done is the film itself, The machine takes basically a polyethylene piece of film. It's a tubular gusseted piece of film. Comes up the machine at top. It's automatically measured to the length of the pallet or the height of the pallet coming into the machine. At that point, the sealing bars at the top of the machine seal the top, create a heat weld, and make a bag out of it. So, but the characteristics of the film have a lot of elasticity characteristics to the film. So when our opening system comes up, grabs the film, stretches it open, brings it down over top of the pallet, those memory characteristics of the film are what provide load, horizontal load integrity towards that load, like stretch wrapper does when it wraps around. It's providing horizontal load integrity. In addition to that, what our equipment does is that we are actually able to control the speed and how much force we apply in the vertical direction. So in essence, with the stretch hooding technology, you're getting load integrity in the horizontal and in vertical direction, making it, in my opinion, a better solution for load stability, especially in taller loads, and we've been very successful at it. Just a real quick snapshot. I have a video of this. I showed it to some of the people last night, but on the left side here, these were loads of basically some type of cement-type product. In this case, it was only about maybe 55 inches or so, but the left side was done with the fork truck. The thickness of films was done identically, the same thickness. The load was put on the fork truck. As you can see, it was driven at a speed, and they slammed on the brakes. End result is when you have the stretch hooding technology, yeah, the load does flex a little bit, it does give a little bit, but it does not fully collapse like it shows on the stretch with a stretch wrap load. This is going to our new technology. This is the new system we had, and I was showing last night at the booth. This is the Lock & Meyer Multiflex Stretch Hooded System. Okay, it has the versatility of basically adjusting to load lengths and widths. It's not new technology for us, per se, but it is in this particular version. It's a much smaller version than some of the other machines we had out there. It's a durable four-leg construction design for ultimate stability of the frame. And you really need that when you really want to apply a lot of holding forces in a vertical direction and bringing that force down onto your load. You really need the structural stability of four-corner support to provide you with that to keep the frame from deflecting and possibly binding on the way down. I'd really have to. One of the main things that we did with our technology from older machines is that some of the issues with plants out there is facilities just really couldn't accommodate the size of stretch hooders. We significantly reduced the size of the footprint of the machine. This particular machine here for the Multiflex, the length of the machine is about 122 inches by 89 inches. Okay, and this particular layout here is actually done for a mulch load. The load height was 84 inches high. Okay. And the technology that we incorporated, and I'll show you a couple pictures on the next previous slides. If you look, and if you're familiar with stretch hooding systems, there's no ladder to actually have to climb up to do any type of work, maintenance, whatever needed to be to the top of the machine where the film feeders are at. Lock & Meyer developed a technology where the actual stretch frame will rise up, disengage the top of the machine, which holds the film feeders, and lowers that whole system down to conveyor height. So there's never a need to climb to the top of the machine to do any type of service, maintenance, whatever reason you may need to get up there. And it's very important because for a few things. It really eliminates the safety factor of someone having to climb a ladder. Okay? And one of the other things is that this machine, again, this is an 84-inch high mulch load, and it was constructed to hood that type of load. But the height of the machine is 177 inches, which is basically 14 3/4 feet high. That's all the height you need for this machine, because remember, you don't have to climb to the top anymore, whereas many of the other machines can be 20-plus feet high. So if you have height restrictions in your facility, this eliminates those height restrictions. And you can see, this is just a photograph of when we actually go up, we disengage the top of the machine down. He's literally standing on just like a little step where this is the initial film loading process. This only really has to be done once when you're using stretch hooding. You put the first film on, you feed the machine, the hood goes back up. Anytime after that, when you have to replace a load or a roll of film, basically the tail is left hanging from the previous roll, put the new roll on, splice the two ends together, cycle it through, and that's it. You should never have to go to the top of the machine to actually change over a new roll of film. It's all done at floor level. Again, this is in a service mode. In this particular picture here, he's actually changing the cutting knives, which actually cut the film after it's been a heat weld has been created, and they're getting ready to apply the film. So he's just changing the blades, and he can also has immediate access to where the ceiling bars are. This whole system, just a manual selection on the control panel. When you want to actually do any type of work to the film feeders, this whole section can slide over closer, and you have very easy access to the film feeders. And again, any adjustments that need to be made here, Lockemeyer is very conscious about simplicity without reducing reliability and quality of the equipment. Any adjustments here are just done by just a simple set of Allen metric wrenches. So not a lot of tools you have to do. Very minimal moving parts, as you can see. It's very clean. And this is just a picture, a top view of the film feeder. Very simplistic, very clean. And it's just another view of it, a side view of the film feeder. This just happens to be a double film feeder. So for instance, if you're using you're doing loads of mulch, then another on a 48 by 40 pallet size, then on another one you may be doing some type of a retail type load where the pallet may be say 40 by 42. Well, the machine has the capability of handling load sizes anywhere from 15 by 15 all the way up to 60 by 60. Now, in order to do that, there's a certain range that the one film roll can handle a certain range of load sizes before it meets its max and says, okay, we need another roll of film. In this case, the company that purchased this machine basically had multiple load sizes. So for each film that's needed to wrap that load, you just add another film, and you can automatically jump from one load to another randomly in line automatically without anyone having to touch the machine. So you could do a 40 by 40, you can do a 40 by 48 randomly in line, nobody touching the machine. And this is an example of one of the other advantages of being able to lower the machine, the top down, is that this is a service position where if you don't have this capability, if you're not able to lower the hood down or the top of the machine down to service level, then you actually pretty much a lot of times you have to put a ladder in there to do any type of maintenance to the suction boxes or anything in here, which creates a safety issue. This frame can be lowered down to any height according to the operator's height, which makes it just very simple, very easy for him to do any type of maintenance to the equipment. This is one of the important features of the equipment is the part of the opening system, the suction boxes. We use a taller, wider suction box, which has an exterior gripper on it, and each suction box has its own dedicated motor. And once the film is dropped down and is getting ready to be opened, the suction boxes actually come in, they make contact with the film, and the larger surface of the size of the suction boxes is important because you want as much surface contact to the film as possible to be able to open it up. And the other thing that happens is, so once it makes contact, these exterior grippers are automatically hinged, and they open up, the film is sucked around the corner, then they clamp shut, and there's a rubber gasket here and a rubber gasket there. So we take a mechanical hold of the film in addition to the suction that is in there when we start to open the process. And we maintain that mechanical hold throughout the opening system. That prevents any, if you have, for example, if you place the film by a dock door which is open and and breeze or a wind may be coming through, it really is prevents the film from blowing off the suction boxes and tripping the machine and putting it into an error. And this is just an example. The suction boxes came in, made contact, the exterior grippers opened up, sucked the film around the corners, they clamped shut. We maintained that opening or mechanical hold throughout the opening process. The reason why Lockemeyer is so successful in doing higher, taller loads is because of one of the main reasons is the film delivery system. We have a patented feature in our film delivery system, and we do this differently than anyone else. Is that on the grippers you see that actually hold the film? On the back of the gripper is a little white wheel, and there's one on the back of each gripper. Okay, and when the index motors come in, the index motors have a wind-up wheel on it. When they index in, they make contact with the film on the white roller, okay, And when we start the process of coming down, we're actually, the wind-up wheel is moving, and we can control the speed of how quickly it rolls that film off or how slowly it rolls the film off. So in essence, when we're bringing the frame down at one speed, we're winding the film off at a different speed, we're actually stretching the film in the vertical direction. And we can control how much force we stretch that film down in a vertical direction to give you that vertical load integrity that you need for a high load like mulch or any other type of load that may teeter a little bit. So that's a very important feature that we have that provides us with the success of doing higher load sizes like in the mulch industry. The other thing it does is it actually provides, by assisting the film off the grippers, it reduces the amount of stretch or distortion of the film on the corner. So we actually have thicker film on the corners is where most of the load stability is from. You need the thicker film on the corners. And because we're able to control how the film is applied, you're going to actually use less film per less consumption per load because of the patented film delivery system. And it's just a picture of it, how it's applied as it's coming down. It doesn't distort the corners of the load. And the conveyor, the internal conveyor of the machine, the way we do it is there's numerous styles of internal conveyors you have. But what we do is we design the conveyor in a way to where the corners of the pallet overhang the internal conveyor. That allows our grippers to get as close to the load as possible. We like probably 2 to 3 inches our grippers away from the corners of the load. When it comes down, it stays nice and close. It gets all the way down, drops below the conveyor, releases the film, and then the film sucks up underneath the corner of the pallet, and that's what helps the load to stay intact as far as vertical load integrity. It has a lot to do with the holding force of the load, so especially in the mulch loads when you got the tall loads. And this is one other unique feature with this machine is that if you notice here, it's a two-piece frame. The frame where the grippers are mounted run the length of the machine. There's no obstruction across the entry side and the exit side of the machine. And what this does for us is that whenever the film, the frame drops down, releases the film is released under the corner of the pallet. As soon as that film is released, we can automatically start exiting that load out of the wrapping zone, indexing the next load in without having to worry about the frame having to rise up and clear the top of the load before the next load comes in. So that has a lot to do, with the speed of the system. It's just a nice feature to have because you don't have to wait for that frame to come up and clear the top of the load before you start exiting out and indexing the next load in. And the Lockemeyer North America support, just remember, the equipment is built in Sonderborg, Denmark, okay? But once it gets into the States, and our U.S. headquarters is in Glenview, Illinois, once a machine hits the States, we have a U.S.-based service technician team that does all the servicing out of the U.S. Our parts facility is not very far from here. It's in Arlington Heights, Illinois. 24-hour service, free-of-charge hotline, where you're actually put in contact with a certified Lockemeyer training technician. You're not talking to a receptionist or anything like that. They all have their days to be on the phone system and so forth to monitor these lines. For anybody that is that's interested in testing their loads, I'd love to have you send some loads to our test center in Glenview, Illinois. We have the end of November, 1st of December, we will actually have the new Multiflex machine in our test center in Glenview, Illinois. And we always allot about 3-4 days out of the month to where we have customers send in their loads. We test it for them. You're more than welcome to be present to watch the loads being tested. And the last final thing, which really took place over the last 2 years or so, is Lockemeyer is the only stretch hood equipment manufacturer that offers its own film. We do not get film private labeled from anybody. It is our recipe, our formulation, which basically over the last 23 years of experience of seeing films from all over the world, Lockemeyer wasn't stupid. We took notes. We know what's good. We know what good film is, and in conjunction with our experience in the industry and the resources and experience of the people from ITW, we've developed a very good film. So we have that option as well to complete the loop as far as a complete stretch hooding system. But the equipment runs any film there is. But you have that option if you choose to use Lockemeyer film. And that's it. If you have any questions, I'd be more than happy to answer it. You all got my literature in the your welcome packets along with my business card, so I'd love to talk to you about it. Yeah.
Did your film carry a 12-month
warranty? Yeah. All the film is guaranteed UVI for 1 year. But keep in mind, UVI, I'm not sure how many of you, probably all know this, but UVI protects our film. Just like in stretch film or stretch hooded film, the UVI only protects that film. It doesn't protect the bags underneath. So if you're looking for the UVI in our film to protect the bags, your product bags from fading due to sun or whatever, that's not how the UVI works. It protects our film from breaking down.
Does the guarantee offer replacement film in the event of failure, or do you absorb the entire
Well, if our film does not do the job, we back our film 100%. We back our film 100%. So if there's issues with it, damage, we're responsible for it. We'll replace the film. Yeah.